You did?
I just got real excited about worshiping the Lord and about half of it's in pieces on the floor. So, it's all good. I'll help you out with that later. Just wanted to name that for anybody that was out there laughing at me. There were a few of you that noticed. So, it was kind of fun. And I just also wanted to just say thank you to Paul for sharing a little bit about Urban Plunge and our video that, just to be honest, I hadn't seen it past that point either, so maybe it doesn't go that far. but I really do want to encourage you all to think about coming this spring break, just as even like a start. I do encourage some of you to think about giving your summer to come and be with me in D.C. and come see what God is doing here. But I think spring break is a great step. I think a lot of us do come to D.C. hoping to be a part of the things of power and privilege and just the exciting things going on Capitol Hill, and that's great, but there's a whole lot more to this city. And so my hope would be for you, if you're somebody who's thinking of even committing to this city post-college, that you would come, even if you're a senior, just come once, just to see what's going on the other side of the other side of the river, what's going on in other parts of the city. Our prayer is that not only that you would see other parts of the city, that we would also talk about how do you biblically engage issues of justice and poverty and suffering? How do we answer that question of why do bad things happen to people? And I think those are things that just keep me up at night and that I think probably bother a lot of people on campus here who aren't in this room. And so I just want to offer that opportunity for you as hopefully something to really deepen your faith, but also help us spread our witness on a campus like GW that cares so much about the world. A lot of you were at Engage. Anybody raise your hand at Engage? University retreat. And if you remember the last day, you might have been still sleepy from the dance party. But Neil Livingstone, who was our speaker, was talking about what it meant to live out a life that's connected to the vine. So connected to the vine, which was God. And he was talking about different spiritual practices. He talked about memorizing the Bible. If you remember that, I was like, whoa. And he was talking about keeping people really close to us in community. And as we live out our lives as Christians, doing it with others, which is what you're doing right here. But he also talked about Sabbath. And I heard that you all kind of peeked on that. And so I was like, okay, we're going to talk about Sabbath today. And so when I say Sabbath, I mean taking one day out of seven and not working, having it be a day for God. So that's kind of radical, and I just want to put that out there, and I'm just going to try to sort of unpack, like, what does that mean? What is a Sabbath? Why would you do it? Why do we sometimes not do it? And just sort of talk around that whole thing. And then I'm going to make you actually get in groups, because I am very practical, and make you talk about how you're going to actually do it this week. So just get ready, because this is not when you're going to tune out. Okay, so yeah, we're talking about Sabbath, and I think a lot of us think Sabbath is for Jewish people. Jesus, like, did away with that. It's just not practical for college students. But I think Sabbath is, I'm just going to argue over and over again, I think Sabbath is a good gift for us, and I think it's a witness to the world of how good our God is. Mm-hmm. So I lead the Washington, D.C. Urban Program. So I specialize in understanding what's going on in D.C. Just like Bethany came here to GW, she didn't go here, and she's sort of like eyes wide open, like, what's GW's culture? What's going on here? How does this place work? I feel that way about D.C. What's going on in D.C.? D.C. is a city for the workaholic. So is this campus, let's be honest. I mean, people come to this city because they're ready to work their butt off to do anything, you know, to make a difference, to make money. And I think a lot of us, we hear about people who work really hard in the city, and we think, oh, it's those, like, grubby people on Capitol Hill or people that are working on K Street or something like that. But the truth is, a lot of those people are very well-intentioned, and a lot of them come here, I think your age or I'm older, a little older, like 5-6 years older, and a lot of them come with the intention to do a lot of good, and they're willing to work really hard to see something happen. And so I think when we're talking about Sabbath, I'm not just speaking to, like, the people that are working a 9-to-5 or that are planning to, like, live a life that's maybe what you would consider, like, the typical American dream. I'm talking about people who really want to dedicate their lives to God's mission, God's work, whether that's in ministry or in politics or whatever that is. I think this applies to all of us. So even if you feel like your work is really meaningful, I think God also calls us to take a day and step away. But I think a lot of us here in D.C. in particular really do struggle with a life-work balance. I heard a funny story on the radio about Volkswagen, the car company. They started taking their employee, so everybody, you know, they get a smartphone when they work there. Their employee email actually turns off 30 minutes after their shift ends, which is kind of radical, kind of different, you know, thinking like they, but they started to realize that when people were working all the time, they weren't working very well. This is probably true for a lot of us. I don't know if you have, I have a smartphone and it's changed my life, probably not for the better. And you're sort of constantly on it. Like I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, who sent me an email? Can I respond to that? And, you know, like, this is just not probably good for my life. And so I think just as, that just sort of became a funny picture to me of like, how could we even respond when things like the smartphone are in our face constantly challenging us to like work. But I think for you all, you may not think of, like, the smartphone may not mean work to you. It may mean, like, social things or maybe class-related things. But when I think of people your age, really, or college students really pushing themselves, I think about how little sleep you guys get. I read online it's about 30% of college students that get the recommended 8 hours of sleep a night. Does anybody regularly get 8 hours of sleep? Yeah, we got like
college students.
So it's true. I think a lot of us, we would just push ourselves to do things that we are not meant to do. And I know I did it in college too. I was the kind of person who my roommate was sort of like, do you even live here? Because you come in after I go to bed and you leave before I get up. And I'm not that kind of person now because just after a while you can't live that way. But I really did push myself. And so I think, yeah, I started to question, Why do we do this? Why do we push ourselves this way? And I know for me, there's this test called the Enneagram. I don't know if anyone's familiar with it. It's like a personality test. My personality registers as the achiever. So I place a lot of value, and maybe you're like this too, on what I get done in a day. So it's really important to me that my to-do list is checked off, that my to-do list is long, and my worth is often tied in what I do and also in just how busy I am. So I want to be somebody who's known for getting a lot done. And, of course, our culture really helps me feel even better about myself whenever I get a lot done. And, you know, you walk around campus, and it's, I don't know if you played this game, but I like to play the I'm busier than you game on campus. You know, who got less sleep or who has more papers to do tonight? It's sort of like a good post-well conversation. and I think it helps us to feel, you know, better, as a better person, because we obviously have so much more to do that we only got to sleep 2 hours last night, and you must be a really boring person because you get to sleep 10 hours. So just, you know, those sort of, oh. And so this is my friend Liz. I just say that, but that's true. You know, like, we live this way, but the truth is, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we should probably know and realize that our worth is not in what we do. Our worth is not tied up in our productivity or our grades. God calls us worthy because we are His. And we are His before we did anything cool, impressive, cute, anything. We are His. We're His children. And that doesn't change based on whether you're only busy 2 hours in a day or whether you're somebody who's working 20 hours and who never stops, whatever it is. So I think the Sabbath command applies to all of this. So I just want to offer that to you in case you're thinking about trying to get out of it. And so, again, I think that a Sabbath is a good gift to us from God, but I think it's also a sign of the gospel to our world, that especially on this campus and in this city where people are running themselves dry, that our good God would want to give people a gift of rest. And I found this really to be true in my own life. I'm just going to share with you a little bit about what. So as I'm like speaking to you about the Sabbath, I actually practice the Sabbath. And so I'm going to be speaking to you about sort of like what in my life led me to a regular practice of Sabbath. So 2 years ago, I was on staff at Georgetown. And someone, my boss, Will Clark, who will be with you, I think, next week. Is that right?
No.
Well, whatever. Will Clark is awesome. He'll be on campus soon.
He will be visiting.
He will be visiting. Yes, and he talked me into starting a seminary degree. So here I was on staff at Georgetown, working pretty full-time with that, and I started taking these classes with the seminary called Fuller. I started to really like it, but then this person who'd been running the DC Urban Program, like, quit. This was like 2 weeks after I started the seminary degree. So suddenly I had about three pretty significant time commitments running at one time. I was running an urban program. I was trying to keep a campus fellowship working, and I was taking several classes on the side. And so I just started to feel really exhausted. And the first thing to go, of course, was my sleep. And then sort of like my mental focus, because every time I would be like in a meeting or talking to somebody, I'd be like making a list of everything that needed to get done. And I started to notice that like I would reach out to friends less and less. And there were like a couple months there where every Friday night I was home doing paperwork or catching up on things. And that is not me. And it was never me in high school. It was never me in college. And just started to notice that something really radical needed to change. About my life. I was just running myself to the bone and just kind of like waking up early to do homework, and I'm sure a lot of you do that, but and just being constantly on the go. And so that went on for pretty much an entire semester. And then I hit the summer. And in the summer, I run something called Bridge DC, which is a 7-week summer residential internship. So a group of students gather together and we move into a low-income neighborhood together. We do life together. We learn about the neighborhood, we do service together there, we live together, we do meals, everything. It's just like a very intensive program, and Simon's been a part of that before. But as part of that, because we have all this time together, we're really trying to take seriously what does it mean to live out the Christian life together. And so we're thinking about spiritual disciplines a lot, and we're trying to practice them, some of us for the first time. So the first one that we always do each year is Sabbath. And so we talk about it as not only how can we begin to practice the Sabbath together throughout the summer, but also we think about, you know, what are we going to do when we come home? So during our summer, we have a pretty intensive internship during the week, but we're also living in the kind of community where you make friends and they come knocking on your door, like quite literally all the time. And so then you start to think, okay, well, what does it mean to actually have space away? What would it look like for us to rest? So a lot of what I've learned about Sabbath has come from that experience from that summer, and I'm going to refer back to that a little bit. But first, I want to just start with a couple of things, ways that I think I've maybe thought incorrectly about Sabbath in the past, and I'm going to ask you to sort of talk about these in groups later, so pay attention. So there's three ways that I think I have gotten Sabbath wrong in the past. So first, I think I always thought Sabbath was legalistic. I thought, because, you know, there are several passages in the Gospels where Jesus calls out the Pharisees and he tells them pretty much, like, what they're doing about the Sabbath is wrong. And so, upon further review, I've done a little bit of study on this, and I figure maybe I was wrong. So, the Ten Commandments were Ten Commandments, and only one of them has to do with the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had taken this one command take a Sabbath day as rest and a time to be with the Lord, and they had made 39 categories of things that you could not do on the Sabbath. So this was the world that Jesus was operating in. And so Jesus steps in, and he allows his followers, like his disciples, to start eating grain in a field on the Sabbath day, and people get upset about that. And he heals a man with a crippled hand and a woman on the Sabbath, and again, people get upset about this. But he says to them that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. So I think we can read that and think, okay, well, Jesus obviously didn't do the Sabbath thing. But the truth was, Jesus was a really observant Jew. And so to disobey one of the Ten Commandments would be pretty sinful. And if you believe what I believe about Jesus, which is that Jesus didn't sin in his time here on earth, and that he was in constant obedience to the Father. And so that kind of made me rethink my idea that Jesus didn't practice the Sabbath. But actually, I think Jesus sort of calls us back to the real spirit behind the law that we see in the Ten Commandments, but particularly the Sabbath. So he was calling the people there to take seriously not the legalistic parts of it, like the Pharisees who were getting caught up in what they could do to look good or make other people look bad, but instead, what did it mean to really have a day that was about God and worshiping God and not letting it be about ourselves or what we were going to do. So the first was that the Sabbath was legalistic and Jesus like did away with the Sabbath. Not true. Second misunderstanding, I think it's just that the Sabbath is just a day off. That like we work really, really hard, and I don't know if you do this sometimes, but you like work really hard up until Friday and then you just crash. Or like, let's talk about right before exams. That's true. And then you just crash and it's like, oh, here's my Sabbath day. I'm just going to sleep all day because I worked really hard. But if you think about that, you're just glorifying work in that. Work becomes like where your whole life is lived, and then you just crash in your Sabbath time. It's a very passive way of thinking about Sabbath. Is Sabbath just like your time when you're not working, so you're gearing up to work again? Is your whole life based on your work? But instead, I think Sabbath is an active posture of not working yourself to the bone the other 6 days of the week, so that when you hit Sabbath, you can actually engage with God and have an active relationship with Him. And that way, almost like this place of rest and peace with God becomes the base that we work from, rather than like something that like we're giving God our leftover time or feelings or whatever it is. It's kind of interesting if you look back at Genesis, when God is creating the world. It's interesting that each day actually begins with the evening. So it says that there was evening and then there was morning on the first day. And so even in the picture of God, there's maybe some sense that God begins in a posture of rest. And I don't really know what rest looks like for God. But he begins in a posture of rest and then he moves into activity. And I think that's maybe different than the way that we would go about it. So yeah, so Sabbath is legalistic. The Sabbath is just a day off. And the third misperception I want us to explore today is that it's just not possible. I think a lot of us think it's just not possible. We have too much on your plate. You're kind of like me, who took on three major things at once and never really sat back to prioritize and think about, well, what is God actually calling me to? If you only have 24 hours in the day, it's unlikely that God is calling you to do 28 hours worth of activity in your day. And I'm sure Bethany or others would love to help you really sort out what that might look like for you. But yeah, I think it's easy to begin to live as though we think we're completely in control of our lives, and God is very much not a part of that. And maybe we really are too busy. And I think as I was going through this process of beginning to practice a regular Sabbath, I realized there actually were things that had to go. And so I was choosing things that had to go, like friends and sleep, but instead sort of took a different turn, and now I'm focusing just on the urban program, and I've stepped down from Georgetown in order to like rebalance my life a little bit more. But I've also found that in order to practice the Sabbath, you have to be a little bit more intentional about what you do the other 6 days of the week. So that meant that there were some times where, like, if I was going to take, like, for me, I've discovered that Sabbath needs to be on Sunday. But, so that meant that sometimes on Saturday, I actually have to, like, do some work. Or I need to kind of restructure my life so that I'm not stressed out on Sunday the whole time about everything that I need to do for Monday. I need to actually prepare for Monday on Saturday. So I'm also, that's going to be part of our other question. It's going to be, okay, so what if you were going to practice the Sabbath this week, what do you actually need to do in order to be ready to do that? And I think we do have to plan ahead. I think that's a way of honoring God, of saying, okay, God, I really want to set this aside for you, and what do I need to do in order to get there? So again, so we see in Genesis, God is the first one practicing the Sabbath, and then when the Hebrew people form as a people, God actually makes it a law. So I'm going to give you the scripture where we find sort of like the initial basis and definition of what is Sabbath. This is from Exodus 20, if you brought your Bible. Verse 8 through 11. Here we go. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this is kind of where I'm going to get into more like the practical side of what does it actually mean to practice the Sabbath. And so we can talk all day long about why we need it, why our culture doesn't want us to have it, why we make excuses, but what does it actually look like to practice the Sabbath? So I think from the scripture, I'm drawing about three central elements of what I think constitutes a Sabbath. And so I'm going to go through those, and then I'm going to break us up into groups to talk about a couple different questions. So the three components I want to highlight for you are ceasing, worship, and community. I think those are the key components that I see in a Sabbath. So first, ceasing, meaning stopping. So it wouldn't be Sabbath if you were working. So the whole point of Sabbath is not working. It's inherent in the definition. And so it's a great thing. You stop and you remember that it all doesn't depend on you. Actually, nothing depends on you. And God was at work long before you were there, and he will be here on campus at GW making ministry move or making Capitol Hill move long after you're dead. And so I think in some ways when we think about Sabbath and thinking about stop, to what does it mean to stop working? I've heard it's kind of like a joke, like you have to make a list of what is your not-to-do list on Sabbath. So for you that might mean you really need to shut down your email. Maybe that really makes you feel like you're working if your email is open. Or maybe for you, you need to make sure your television isn't on. Or maybe you need to make sure that your school books are like under your bed somewhere so that, you know, there's just not even the temptation to feel like you have to attend to them. But I think that's obviously something we need to think through with ourselves and God. What does it mean? What does work look like for you? And what would it look like to actually not do that, intentionally not do that for a day? So stopping activity and ceasing. But the thing is, like, it's not that work is bad. And I just want to make that really clear. It's not that work is bad. I think God created us for good work. God created us for mission. I'm so excited to be a part of God's mission in this city and in this world. But it's so good for me to be reminded that it's not all dependent on me. That I can't change anyone's heart on a campus. I can't fix any problem that I see in the city. I need God to go before me and with me in order to make anything happen. And I think a Sabbath day where I intentionally say, I am limited, I can't do what God can do, reminds me that I just can't. I can't do what God can do. I trust him. So we're not working on Sabbath. We also need to think about, well, okay, if you're not working, what are you going to do? You want to rest. So think about, well, what are things that help you rest? That might mean not setting your alarm on your Sabbath. It might mean doing an art project, playing a musical instrument. I don't know what you like to do. Play sports, go for a run, take a nap. You know, just it sounds like fun, doesn't it? I mean, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a day of celebration, like every week. And so so we're talking about the second component I want to highlight for us is worship. So talk about stop working on the Sabbath. But what are sort of like the active things that we're going to be doing during our Sabbath day? We're actively resting in God, but we're also actively engaging God. And so I think on a Sabbath day, we want to be thinking about engaging God both personally and corporately. And so if you are somebody who attends a church on a Sunday, then it's a great opportunity to go and be in corporate worship with other folks. I think also it's a great time on your Sabbath to spend some time just yourself in God. So I don't know what it looks like for you to like hang out with Jesus, but that may mean like turning on worship music in your room. It may mean sitting in silence. Sometimes I pull out art supplies or just flip through the Bible and like start reading things I've never read before, and that's kind of fun for me, and it feels like I'm engaging God. And so that's just, I think, something to explore if you've never really had unhurried time with God. I think a Sabbath can be a good time where you're not just like, okay, I have to do this, like, I don't know, efficient Bible study or something, but instead, like, what would it look like to just have a few hours and be like, okay, God, I want to give this time to you and teach me something, help me to worship you. So the final thing I want to highlight is community. So if you look back at the Hebrew people and people of Israel, they were celebrating Sabbath in community. So it was something that they were all supposed to do on the same day. It wasn't like, take a day off when you think about it, when you need it, or like, you can do Monday, you can do Tuesday. They were all commanded to be taking off this time, everyone, whether they were, what their leader would have been, like a priest, or like a slave, like everyone was taking off this day together. And that's very explicit in the scripture that everybody is supposed to take this day. And so I think for me, I have discovered that Sunday just kind of needs to be that day, because a lot of people also take off Sunday. It's sort of generally kosher to still be taking Sunday off. For you, that may not be true, but for me, I've found that if I try to take Monday or Tuesday off, like the email keeps coming, I'm missing phone calls, like you're missing class, I don't know what that would be. So that would be a thought that I'm going to encourage you to think about taking a Sabbath this coming Sunday of this week, and just see whether that ends up being a rhythm for you that works. And I think that every week choosing the same day is also helpful, because then you aren't just kind of like, well, when can I fit it in? Just you kind of know that it's coming and you're expecting it. But I think I'm also just struck, like, we're thinking about what does it look like for everyone to get to practice a Sabbath? And it's something that I feel convicted about, and I'm not sure that I'm enacting yet in my life. There are a lot of low-income people in our city and in our area that don't get to take a day off. And we spent the summer serving in an immigrant community in Alexandria. You meet families where there are several people in the household working upwards of 50, 60 hours a week. And I don't really think I would say they're disobeying God and they're not practicing Sabbath. They're like trying to make it so their families can survive. And so I think as I just think about Sabbath, I continue to just pray for the folks who our system isn't working to make it possible for them to even take a day off. And maybe sometimes I'm contributing by like going out to eat on Sunday and maybe I should stay home. And that's sort of a strict way of thinking about it. But I think just as we think about what does it look like to give a day of rest and pray for a day of rest for everyone in our country, in our world, in our city, that's just something that I think comes to mind for me. So I'm about to close up and get us started on our discussion questions. But again, I just think Sabbath is a good gift for us. It reminds us that we are limited and forces us to recognize that God is in control and God is in charge of the whole world. It's just so easy for us to think that our worth is in who we are, but to remember that God sees us for so much more than anything that we do or produce, that he just loves you for who you are, and you could just sit here all day long and just worship him, and he would be like, this is awesome, I love you. But I think also Sabbath offers us the opportunity as a community to embody a message of the gospel, that our God is so powerful and so much in control that we can actually step back and our lives will be okay. We can study, we can work hard for 5 or 6 days, and with confidence we can step back and say, God's got it, I don't need to push myself. And you like, when you're in the work world, you'll notice there are some of you that will end up in careers where people are in the office all day long, every Saturday, every Sunday, because for them, that's where they find their worth. So it becomes very obvious that this is complete everything to them. And what would it look like for you to, as a witness, step back and just say, like, no, I really do need to take a day off. Like, that's my way of honoring God. I need to be a part of a church community. And that's a risky stand to make, but it's one that I think is definitely a way that we make it clear that we don't think it's all on us to work our way there. I also think for people that are working as activists or in service work, I think it's really easy to also think, like, if you're a small group leader, well, I need to, like, be with my person in my small group every week, every day of the week. I need to work really hard to make sure that everybody, because just we start to feel like people actually like, need us in order to either in, like, a relationship where you're trying to show somebody something about Jesus. Like, what would it look like to even step back for, like, a day from those sort of relationships even and just say, okay, God, I'm not going to go and serve that same kid. I don't feel like I have to be there in order for something to happen, that I actually believe that you are in control and not me. Yeah, so I think our God is just is sovereign. Like Katrina said, our God is sovereign and he is good. And this is just a great reminder of that when we think of the Sabbath. So I'm going to challenge you. I'll pray for us and then I'm going to put you into groups and we're going to talk about two different questions. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that God, you love us enough to realize our limitations, God. God, that you actually give Sabbath to us as a gift, Lord. I pray that you would show us how to make space to be with you in our lives, God. But also just to take joy, God, in resting, knowing that you're totally cool with us resting, and that it's actually something that you want for us, God. So I pray that you would start some new practices tonight amongst us, God, and that those would be practices that would bring even more people to come to know you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to encourage you to get in groups of three, and I have
time for two questions.
Two questions I want you to talk about. I want you to talk about which of the, like, how have you thought about Sabbath in a incorrect way before? That's probably not the best way to say that. How have you incorrectly thought about Sabbath before? How have you fallen into some of those myths or misperceptions that, like, Sabbath is just, what I said again was that Jesus did away with the Sabbath, it's, like, not important for Christians, that you're just too busy for Sabbath, it's just not practical, it's impossible, in that Sabbath is just, like, something you do if you're totally exhausted and you pull an all-nighter or something like that. And I'd love for you to just strategize with the two other people in your group. What would it look like for you to take a Sabbath this Sunday? So think about what would you need to get done ahead of time, or maybe not this Sunday, it could be this Saturday. I'm not going to make you pick. So think about what would you need to get done ahead of time in order to do that. But also, are there a couple things that when you think, if I had a whole day to rest, I would totally, like, go to the monuments. Like, great, tell them. So then you actually go do it, you know? So I just want to encourage you, if you could just grab two other people near you and talk about those two things we're talking about, ways we've gotten Sabbath wrong, and if you were going to actually practice the Sabbath this week, what you want to do on your Sabbath, and how you're going to make it happen.
As she said, either Saturday or Sunday, and I was like, oh, neither.
So what are you...